Are you ready to listen to my dad, Joe, and Uncle Justin talk about sports?
Now on with the show!
The Joe Mays and J-Raff Show is brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop, which have been serving the greater Westlawn area delicious food for over 70 years. You are listening to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. A weekly podcast about sports since 2011. With a focus on football. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Mays and Justin Rafoff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mays, and here with me, as always, is my co-host, Justin Rafoff.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And I'm going to turn the talking topic over to you, Justin, because we're continuing our NCAA 14 football dynasty, year 5, FAU Owls, and I'm up first here in game 3 of this fifth season. We're coming off a loss to number 1 Oklahoma, 14-7. We're going to play Hawaii tonight and then Alabama, which is a huge game for us. That one is at home, and we're hosting a bunch of recruits. But, yeah, I'm going to head up there and play offense, and you're going to get started on our topic, which by request is going to be Penn State Athletics. We'll talk probably wrestling here. Okay. Women's hockey, which one of the mentioned that they're in the Frozen Four tournament, which is awesome. Yeah. They were so excited to make it, and it's awesome to see. Men struggled a little bit this year, but women's team was excellent. Won the CHA for back-to-back season and get to be in the Frozen Four tournament. That's awesome. We'll talk wrestling, and then we'll focus on football like we usually do.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people enjoyed us talking about that last week. So while I'll get you started with why don't you start with the wrestling team, how they did in the Big Tens?
Yeah, the team absolutely dominated the Big Ten championships that were in Maryland this weekend. They had 7 wrestlers make it to the finals, which is just absolutely absurd.
And it probably would have been 8.
Yeah. And arguably the best wrestler, if not one of the top couple on the team, is
or Greg.
Yeah. Yes, it's hard to pick. Yeah. But Carter Strachey had an unfortunate injury at the very end of his last match of the regular season
against Edinburgh.
In a tech fall, like he dominated the guy, but he got hurt at the very end, got helped off. There's a lot of speculation as to what was going to happen. There's a lot of speculation over how it went down at the tournament this weekend by multiple accounts, including Kale Sanderson, which is the only like real
one that matters. Right.
And the only like true like person inside that has spoken to it. He said Carter wanted to wrestle and they basically said, no, it's not worth it. You've got bigger things in 2 weeks. And he said, you know, again, this is just what Kale said to reporters yesterday. Just, you know, Carter being Carter, he's not happy with that. But these guys are ultra competitive, right? Like, you have to be to be a Division I athlete. You have to be, right? Like any Division I athlete has to be like that. And then throw on top of that, like, you're not going to find too many, like, passive wrestlers.
No.
Right? Like, that's just...
Interesting breed.
Right, right. And again, to be that, like, it is the sport where you are out there. It is all you against one other person. Like, it's just, it takes a different mindset to do that. So you can't just, like, flip that off and on, right? Hopefully he's able to regroup. It sounds like if he thought he was okay to go in this one, give him 2 more weeks, which is the thinking of Penn State. Give him 2 more weeks, and he should really be ready to go. I was talking to my dad. It'll be interesting because he will not be an automatic qualifier, but he is. You can pencil him in for an at-large bid right now. Yeah, but imagine being that guy who, you know, you think you're going to have a pretty even matchup in your first match or whatever, and you end up getting like the top at-large bid coming against you in the first round. Yeah. 3-time national champion Carter Strachey.
Wouldn't be the way I want to go out.
But. Right. So anyway, so hopefully Carter can get back. But all that being said, Carter was out. So Penn State was only wrestling 9 guys. 7 made it to the finals, and 2 made it to the third place matches. Right, lost in their semifinals.
Right, so there was, what, 5 first place, 2 second place, and 2 third place?
Yes. Yeah, so Penn State ended up taking 5 of the 10 total champions, which is insane. And then they had 2 guys lose, and then 2 guys won their matches earlier today in the consolation brackets and won their other ones. And I believe both of our third place guys pinned their guys in the third place bouts, which is just absurd. And so anyway, Penn State is going to qualify someone at all 10 weight classes, which hasn't happened for a few years. Or I shouldn't say that. 125 has been a bit of a, it has been the weak spot on the roster for a few years. And now we had a true freshman go against the 6th-year senior and beat him. Wow. That was pretty awesome. But yeah, so Braden Davis won at 125. That was pretty incredible. He had 2 sudden victory wins on his way to the championship. And his ability to just kind of be defensive, but man, he likes to attack. He likes to keep going, which is fun to watch.
Question about Carter.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever figure out what the difference was between like pulling out before the match started?
So somebody said like, depending on like how it works, it doesn't quote unquote count against you as like a loss or something when it comes to like seeding or something. It's really weird.
Okay. I figured there had to be.
Because his streak ends, his streak of like he had won like 63 or 64 straight matches,
right?
That ends, but I think it comes to like I don't know exactly what the difference is, but yeah, it is, there is a difference as opposed to him like just not being there and then forfeiting. It's one of those odd wrestling things. Yeah, some more like that. Yes. But yeah, hopefully he can come back and be fired up. We've seen that before with Penn State guys. So as you go through like some of the other champions, so we talked about Braden Davis at 125.
I'm not going to be able to go in weight class order, but if you can.
Right, I'm just trying to think. Levi Haynes won. And he was really good again. He won the national title last year as a freshman. Or maybe he didn't win, but he went to the national title as a freshman. Really good freshman for us. Mitchell Messenbrink, another freshman. So Braden Davis is a freshman. Mitch Messenbrink won, and he won in dominant fashion.
Yeah, he looked good. He's a freshman, right?
Yeah, yeah, and he.
Red shirt or true?
I think a red shirt, okay. Only because they mentioned over and over again how many times they mentioned that that Braden Davis is a
True.
A true freshman, that makes me think Messenbrink isn't.
Yeah, so it was a great showing from Penn State in the Big Ten Championship. So they won it now back-to-back years. Even with their dominance in the national stage, they haven't always won the Big Ten Championship.
No, what is it? They've won...
Is this their, like,
the last 13 national championships?
Yeah, but only, like, six of the last 13 Big Tens or something?
This is only their eighth Big Ten, and they're all under Kale.
Right. So... You know, but like you and I always say back and forth, but I mean, obviously everyone's thinking it. Yeah, would it be nice to win both, you know, the dual championship and the postseason, the tournament championship? Yeah, but as long as you're the last team standing in March, you know, the one with the most points at the end of March, that's all that matters. Correct. And Penn State is poised to do big things on the mat in two weeks.
If Carter is back and somewhat healthy, Penn State could be going after the scoring record at NCAA championship.
Yeah, that's the thought. And I know you said they set a Penn State record for team points in the Big Ten championships. I don't know if they set the Big Ten record, team record. For some reason, because they scored, what, 170 and a half, was it?
Yeah.
For some reason, I want to say someone scored 174 before.
It could be.
But I don't know that for certain. But great showing. Could have been even better if Carter went through, because it's tough for us to think that he would have been upset.
Probably wins.
Right.
And
along...
Worst takes second.
Right? Right. So along the way, that's guaranteed to be at least 9 more points, 12 more points?
Right. Yeah.
And to think he wouldn't get bonus somewhere, right. You know, so you're talking probably in the 180s. Oh, nice. So, yeah, we're looking forward to NCAA Wrestling Championships in two weeks from now. We should know when we're on the air to do our baseball preview. We could be celebrating yet another Penn State National Championship.
This is the shirt from 2 years ago. I have the one.
How many more updates do we need here?
Yeah, I've got the one. Well, Austin was asking. He's like, do we get shirts for this? And I'm like, no, we buy shirts in 2 weeks. But hopefully.
Right.
So, yeah. It was just another dominant showing. And again, they had two guys take second place. Truax, who has been an All-American before. Bo, who's been an All-American before. Bo is going to contend for a national title. Truax, to me, if he, like, he out-wrestled his seed. He out-wrestled his seed. So, like, right. So, it could be exciting. If our guys, well, and Flow Wrestling, I'll put this out. But like, if our guys wrestle to their seeds, now Starachi is going to be a miss there. But if our guys wrestle to their seeds, Penn State will win the national championship running away. Michigan did not have a good showing today. They had a good showing up until today. Did not have a good showing today.
So I believe Messenbrink won Freshman of the Year, didn't
he? He did.
And
Aaron Brooks was Wrestler of the Year and Wrestler of the Tournament, like most outstanding.
So Brooks got it over Carter, not for tournament, but for Wrestler of the Year, Brooks got it over.
Yes.
I missed that.
Yeah.
One. Okay. I mean, they're both phenomenal.
Right. Right.
Not really something you can take away, but.
Well, and he's also going for his fourth national championship.
Yeah.
And became the third Penn Stater to win four Big Ten titles. Yep.
So
with David Taylor and Ed Ruth, whose brother won for Illinois today.
Oh, so we can get him transferring next year?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So I could be wrong on this, but I thought I read somewhere that Kale's got about 11 of the last 13 national championships, but he's only won Big Ten Coach of the Year a few times.
Yes. So
hey, got it this year. So.
Right, right. And honestly, to be fair, like, I'm kind of surprised the guy from Nebraska didn't get it, because they overachieved and did really well this year. Like, that's a perfect example. One of those where, like, Kale's not going to get credit that he's due necessarily. It's hard to say that, because everyone just regards him as kind of like the best. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not a slight, but at the same time, I feel like sometimes they give, you know, they give it to somebody who's doing more with less.
I think a few of Penn Staters got the better of the Nebraska players. Was it Pinto and Allred?
Yeah, and Pinto beat Truex
in the duel,
season duel. And Pinto's from East Stroudsburg, so like a Stroudsburg area.
So, nice.
Yeah, why he's not for us?
I know. Yeah, it's frustrating. I remember watching that one because that was a pretty hard fought duel that Penn State ended up winning by like six or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I saw him get announced,
they routed Michigan and they beat Iowa, like in the duels.
Or yeah,
I think they beat Iowa. They might have ended up losing to Iowa, like a close one. But
so another successful season already for Penn State wrestling. But honestly, if you don't win the national title, it'll be deemed a failure. You know.
And this is the thing.
I thought you had it.
Yeah, this is the thing that's crazy. So like, Haynes is going to be a one seed. Kirklett will be a one seed, I would imagine.
What's
just going to be a one seed? So there's at least three.
So what's the highest Carter can be then?
See, I don't know how that works because I don't know. It could be like basketball, where there's automatic qualifiers, but that doesn't guarantee you a seed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, you could upset someone in the tournament.
Right.
You know, you get like just like Providence upsetting UConn or something like that.
Right. But he won't be the one seed.
Okay. So he could possibly be like the three or four, though, maybe?
I see. I think he's going to be closer to like maybe.
You think he's going to be like six?
He could be.
Oh, my gosh. That would be – I don't know if that would be
– See, I'd rather him be six – the opposite of whoever they put it one. You know what I mean?
See, I don't know enough about the weight classes around the country to know who's going to be now slotted higher.
Well, I think they have meetings and like everybody kind of gets together and like fights for their guys and stuff like
so
that.
You're saying it's like the Berks County basketball playoffs?
I think it's
so like
more similar to that than
seeds, and then the coaches right. all say yay or nay.
Right. Right.
Interesting.
Well, and I think I've told you old stories from some of my other coaching adventures where some coaches would be arguing for a guy, and the people I'm coaching with are like, listen, that's fine, but they would not, no, they're not better than the guys on our team, you know?
That's always an interesting thing, debate about.
Right. Right, and it's tough because, like, how do you argue against it without sounding like a jerk?
Right.
But
all due respect, but right, this team is clearly not as good as my team.
Right.
Or this team that we lost, you know, however you look at it.
Right. But, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. Yeah, so great showing for wrestling. Hopefully they can continue that to next week. Or, sorry, the 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks, yeah. I did point out to you, I think I pointed out to you, yeah, that State College Area High School had three.
Do you know if they won?
I do not know. I didn't follow it as closely. I was kind of following how the Wilson guys did.
Yeah.
Which they got three guys on the podium, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was a great showing. Great Wilson wrestling team.
Yeah, team. Yeah.
Great
so
from them, three in the top eight in the state.
Yeah, which is in and like, champs. And Pennsylvania is – the hardest, like, for wrestling. Now, I say that. The only one I would even really listen to.
What, Iowa?
No, I'm actually going to go California because they don't separate by classification.
Oh.
It is just one big one.
They only crown one champ?
They crown one champ at each weight class in California, which just by sheer size is just insane. You'll still have a lot of people will put Pennsylvania over it. And there are lots of really good ones. Iowa is very good, but again, the size is going to hurt Iowa. But Ohio is very good, you know? So a lot of those Midwestern states are going to be really strong.
So last night, Kelly was watching a TikTok and it was, now I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Kylie Kelsey. Hanging out and competing with the U.S. women's national team, field hockey team.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, do you know the players' names? And she's like, they gave her the names. And she said it, but it was only the first names. And I was like, because over the last few years, I've learned that, like, the hotbed for field hockey yes. is South Central Pennsylvania.
Yes.
I was like, I think nearly a third or maybe even close to a yeah. half of the women's national team, like the Olympic national yes. team, are from South Central well, Pennsylvania.
Do you know where the U.S. team is based out of?
Is it down in Lancaster, like yeah, near Spooky Nook? Yeah. So, and it's just so funny to me because it's not like, I mean, we're, quote, close to Philadelphia or Harrisburg right. or even like you could say Baltimore. Like the South Central PA area is not that far from these cities, but it's not based in some major city right. around the country. It's all from essentially Harrisburg to Reading down to, you know, Lancaster, York, like that yeah. area produces so many fantastic yeah. field hockey players. It's really awesome because I was wondering if one of them
District 11 or wait, is that
no 11's Allentown?
Yeah, so 11, 3, and 1.
Yeah,
it's gonna be like all like it's a hotbed, and a lot of that's 11 and 3.
Yeah, so
with an emphasis on 3.
Well, you got up in 11, Emmaus is the big one,
right? Yes,
Wilson's had a pretty good run the last few years. But Ole Valley, which produced the one that I was trying to see if it was her, Sophia. Gladia,
yeah,
Fia that plays for Penn State and was, I believe, freshman of the year like 3 years ago and just a fantastic all around player. Actually, the one like field hockey game I took the girls to in 2020, I forget when it was. It was Wilson Ole Valley in the county championship. And I'm pretty sure Sophia had like all the points for Ole Valley beating Wilson. But it was just funny that pops up. She's like, oh, look, Kylie Kelsey can do anything. And I was like, wait, is she with the women's national team? And we just had that discussion.
Yeah, I think she played field hockey at Cabrini.
Kylie did.
Yeah.
You know, Kelly asked me that. She's like, she looks like an athlete. I mean, yeah, she probably was.
She played at Cabrini.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
I'm like 95% sure it was Cabrini.
Yeah. Before we get off of mentioning Wilson athletes and students here, the best thing this weekend that happened with Wilson High School was the Minithon event was this weekend. It was excellent as always. A lot of fun at the community hours Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. The dancers, the fundraisers, the captains, the advisors all were on their feet from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And at the end, they got to announce that they raised over $98,000,
yeah, incredible.
Which I believe is their new record.
I think it is.
I know they have been in the like lower to mid 90s, I think two yes. or three times in the past.
Yes.
Then, you know, the pandemic happened. It was 3 years to climb back out of it. But I think after last year, people were hopeful that they could get to 100,000, which has been the goal since, you know, getting to the 90 right. some thousands for two or three years in a row back in the late 2010s.
Yes, but they also have to be closing in on a million total.
Yeah, well, it's cool. I saw that they had banners for each year,
which was really cool. I just didn't pay enough attention.
Yeah, they had the two advisors, then the three or four like overall students in charge, and then the amount that was raised for Four Diamonds that each year that they've done it. Which I believe was this the 11th?
It's been a lot.
I think the first was 2014. So this would be the 11th because they did get one in 2020 because it was like the end of February, early March. And then everything shut down like yeah. a week or two later. So thankfully, Wilson Minithon never had to be skipped. And they've now done 11 great events. It seemed packed this year, Justin. I know I saw you and Adam there, you know, a bunch of our friends, coaches, acquaintances. It's always great to see the community come out. It just seemed really full this year. And it was a great event. So kudos to the advisors. Is it Marconi and Rutt?
Yep. Yep.
And
the kids. They just put so much time and effort into everything. It's really cool to see like so much hard work and effort and time put into something and to be able to see like a tangible kind of like goal, you know. It's just really cool.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoy that each year. I look forward to it. So,
it's also a great experience, and I know this is way down there on the list of like things that make thon/minithon like really cool, but like the kids get an idea of what it takes to like pull off events,
right,
you know, yeah. and or to like reach out to companies or to do those things. And like, do they get it all right all the time? Like, no. But like, guess what? Learning to like talk to companies about like, hey, can you, you know, are you interested in sponsoring or like things like, yeah. like that's all great experience for high school kids to get, because now like the next time they do it, it won't be the first time they're doing it, you know, like right. things like that. So
sales and fundraising and communication.
And yeah.
Learning how to organize event. I think one of the best things that I've seen them do, and they definitely did it this year, was they got to go up to
yes.
Penn State.
Yeah. Thon actually, like Penn State Thon actually sent out on their social media, like a short video.
Like a yeah. Like yep. That. Yeah. I saw that. So it's really cool. It's a great event. I remember, you know, almost 20 years ago when I was involved, that mini thons were starting, I think, to spread around the state. So it's cool to see where they've gone.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know if mini thons had started by then. It was around that time, I believe. But during thon weekend, like my senior year in February of 2007, when I was a rules and regulation captain, we had to have special pass for visitors to the event that were from other colleges to see how, like, they wanted to start their own.
Okay, yeah.
Thon, and they would bring, you know, representatives to see how we did things. And it's just so cool to see the event continue to grow and get better and trickle down to the high schools.
Well, and just like all the positive effects, like just being able to do that and get them connected with doing things for a good cause. And yeah, it was cool.
All in. Like, everyone right. seems to be having such a great time. And it's obviously incredibly meaningful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Here, Justin, or you can punch.
Okay.
At least we're already in the fourth quarter. Moving right along for our showdown with Alabama.
Right.
So I think that was it for women's ice hockey, wrestling, and the Wilson related stuff. So let's go back to Penn State football. We talked about it last week when we pretty much talked about everything. But we got a few requests that we talk more about Penn State football in 2024 here, because I think there's a lot of interest because of the expanded Big Ten with the new teams coming in, as well as the expanded college football playoff. So Penn State is working with three new coordinators because offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich was fired after the loss to Michigan. Then Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator, left for the head coach job at Duke. And then the special teams coordinator moved back to the university that he was brought to Penn State from, which was that Oregon? Or
I don't remember.
Oh, now I can't. No, it wasn't Oregon. But so Stacy Collins, I believe. And Penn State needs a new special teams coordinator. And then obviously they filled all those positions. Kotelnicki is the offensive coordinator. He's the big one because people are very interested to see how Aller and the offense work this year.
People were excited about the hire.
People have been excited about every offensive coordinator hire.
Cautiously optimistic because I've been wrong on a few of these hires.
Yeah, I really thought Yurcich was going to be the guy. I feel like I haven't been super happy with everything since Joe Moorhead. Right. And I would love the Kotelnicki to be, you know, Moorhead 2.0 here. And get it done with Aller, and then probably Prabula, I'm guessing. I know they got Smolik, and they just brought in Grunkmeyer.
Well, and then we'll see, because they're putting full court press on this kid from Springport.
Right, yeah. But I just think
yeah.
because of how much they like Bo, and it was Bo's right. dream to be the Penn State quarterback, once Aller leaves, which could be this year.
Well, listen.
After this year, I should say.
It sounds awful, but I think you'll know what I mean. I would love nothing more for them to Aller not be able to turn down the draft after this year.
Right.
Because that means
he had a great year.
Outstanding year.
Right.
You know, like, if he's like, look, I got to go, because then do it. You know, like, okay.
Right. Everyone understands it. So seeing a quarterback leave after 3 years is not a big deal. It happens. You got to be prepared for it. And I think they are. How is that not a fumble? So it kind of reminds me a bit of transition from Hackenberg to McSorley.
Yeah.
Because Hackenberg was out of the playbook. He wasn't the best scheme for the Franklin offense. He had a great debut under O'Brien, struggled with Franklin for 2 years, and his growth was stunted. He didn't get to be the guy that people thought he would be.
And then he got drafted by the Jets. So any
right, and then he had no shot in the NFL. But McSorley came in and relieved him in the bowl game. I believe he got hurt, and McSorley looked great. But yeah, and when he came in, I was just like, oh man, I don't know. Like, this is the guy. Like, people are recruiting him as a safety, and we're gonna roll with him. Well, he just became one of the most prolific Penn State quarterbacks ever with the 3 years that he had.
Yeah,
I'm kind of hoping now. I know Bo wouldn't get 3 years,
right?
But
hopefully,
I don't think that would even be possible.
Only if he got injured this year, redshirt, right? Yeah. So we'll see, but yeah, lots of retooling there. But it's kind of tough because they're still right. We're still in that spot where like a 10-win season is like, all right, that's good, you know, but it just doesn't feel right.
Well, a 10-win season probably gets us into the college football playoff.
Well, that's the thing. A 10-win season starts to feel different this year, I think.
Right. And we've been saying it for years as they've been discussing this expansion for, what, at least 3 years, I think? And the teams, like, noted as being the most to gain from an expanded college football playoff based on recent seasons,
right?
Penn State.
Right. So
the college football playoff was an expanded version. Was it like three times or something? Like
yeah, that? It might be three or four times. Right. The problem, listen, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to talk myself into it. Like, if Penn State can make that expanded playoff this year, I'll talk myself into being super excited, all this stuff. The problem becomes, is that just one more of these games that, like, we could have won but don't, you know?
I would like to see it work out somehow, some way. Because whoever wins the Big Ten, it's going to be a top four seed. Unless something crazy happens.
Right, unless you have, yeah, oh my gosh.
Unless someone upsets someone in the Big Ten championship game or something.
Yeah, but even then it's hard because it's just the top two teams now. In the Big Ten championship.
Oh, that's true.
It's not divisions.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about the division, the way the divisions are set up.
Yeah. So like... In theory, you could get maybe a two-loss team in there, but you're probably not going to have a team with more than two losses in the Big Ten Championship.
But what I wanted to say was I would like to see them force Penn State's hand and have Beaver Stadium have to host a game.
Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing. Yeah, that would be so amazing.
That's a dream, right?
That's yeah.
What everyone wants to do.
Yes.
Is host a,
yeah.
host a first-round game.
Just imagine
five, Penn, six, seven, eight.
Penn State like hosting like LSU in the middle of December at Beaver Stadium. Oh my gosh.
I'm going for it.
That's fine.
With a minute left in the fourth. I probably should have just run the ball there, but
all right, Nick Sirianni.
I'm just going to trap.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, I think we went through it last time. Penn State getting to 12 or no, getting to 10 wins is no guarantee. You know, and it's not going to be simple. So we'll have to see how it goes.
All right. I'm going to pull up. Oh, my dad's texting me here. I know he wanted to hear us talk more about Penn State. So he said he heard rumors that the big conferences might get rid of championship games when they expand or if they expand in 2026 to go to a 14 or 16 team playoff. I mean, I guess it's a possibility, but
here's the thing that it's just going to come down to money. If the TV deal to do that for the conferences that
for like the Big Ten and SEC is where this is really going to come in. Right. If they throw enough money that like, it would be more than what the Big Ten makes on that Big Ten championship game or the SEC championship game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then I could see that happening. I feel like there's a lot of money to be made in other places. Like they're already talking about, I think after this year,
they're going to start rotating the Big Ten championship between like Indy and Vegas, maybe.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think
with
I
the
did
West
hear about
Coast
that.
Teams there, and just you know, it's one of those places, like you know, and thinking like USC could be in there some, and
so I'm glad we're going to get a win here, bounce back after our loss to Oklahoma, which we I'm still mad about that, Justin, the way that our guys dropped the pass and then they ruled that an interception in the end zone.
Yes.
So we're going to get to try to redeem ourselves, though, in the next game as we play Alabama. So another big game against a big-time opponent. We'll see. You do not lose this shutout.
Well,
come on.
I accidentally audibled into an all-out blitz there, which is not ideal. Yeah, I have three picks. We
all
need
right,
a,
Brian
we need a
Flores.
Four. Yeah, exactly.
So what? Here, I'll pull up the... Oh, dude, that was a touchdown,
yes.
too. You were going the other way. I'm going to pull up the Penn State schedule. Just to, I know we've talked about it last week.
Let's do it.
Week,
let's go on the record in March.
Are we going to do this already?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, boy.
As of right
okay.
now. With the right to revise.
Right, yeah, as things change, huh? All right, so the 2024 football schedule. So we get our first look here in about a month. The blue and white game is April 13th. But then the real games start on Saturday, August 31st. Penn State goes to West Virginia. So Penn State
I'm
at West Virginia.
You. It scares me because everyone's going to – I say everyone. A lot of Penn State fans are going to count that as like an easy win, and
right.
it's not going to be an easy win.
No, it's not going to be an easy win.
Oh, my gosh.
You've got to be kidding me. No, I do – I'm gonna say Penn State wins, but I'm not confident in that. But, again, it's one of those opening game could set the tone.
Right.
You know, just like Wisconsin a few years ago, it felt like that was a springboard. Now, I know things cratered later, but...
That was all due to injury, though.
Right, exactly.
Do you want me to do this?
Yeah, you can okay. do this for 20 seconds. It's fine.
Oh, God.
Oh, onside kick. Call timeout. But then they've got at least three in a row, all at home, that should be wins.
Yes.
September 7th, Bowling Green. You got to win that game. Cannot lose that game. September, so 2 weeks later, they have a bye already in week or what would be their third game. The weekend of Saturday, September 14th is Penn State's on a bye. Game three is September 21st.
They took a timeout. So I'm running.
Throw it deep.
I'm going to throw a Hail Mary. Yeah.
September 21st against Kent State. Got to win that game. Like that. Unacceptable. Cannot lose to Bowling Green or Kent State.
Correct.
Probably shouldn't lose the next week against Illinois on Saturday, September 28th.
No, because it's at home, too. Like,
right, it's
no
at home.
Excuse.
So I know Illinois and Indiana on the road can be dicey at times. They probably should also be really mad because the last time Illinois was in Beaver Stadium, we know what happened.
Right.
So, again, you got to be...
I hope Penn State scores 9 touchdowns and goes for 2 and converts... 9 two-point conversions in that game. Can you imagine?
Then for the fourth straight game, they are at home October 5th against UCLA. Now, I also say that that should be a win.
Yeah.
I'm more confident in it than West Virginia because it's at home.
Right.
UCLA is traveling across the country. I would love for it to be a noon game, but I'm guessing it's going to be a 3:30.
Yeah, that would be great. Noon, yes.
But UCLA just is they have a new coach.
Right.
And I don't think they're the same.
Which is stupid. They should have kept Chip Kelly. Like,
well, Chip Kelly left.
I know, but that they left because they were talking about firing him all season and they just kept winning.
But that, to me, that has to be a win. So at worst, you're 4-1 after 5. Hopefully, you're 5-0. But you've done most of the damage at home. You probably got a road test against West Virginia, but everything else was done at home against inferior competition. Then things get ratcheted up a notch. After UCLA, the next weekend, Saturday, October 12th, Penn State goes to USC. I don't know what to think about USC now without Caleb Williams, but they're a team that always
recruits
well.
They're going to be a big offensive team, but we better be able to score against them.
Right.
Although I know they went and changed their defensive stuff, but like...
Like, to me, because it's a road game that far away, it's a toss-up, because USC is a very good program. They maybe underachieved the last two seasons, but they could at any time explode. So that one's a toss-up. Then next week, back, or sorry, 2 weeks later, they have their second bye the weekend of October 19th. Then they got to go to Wisconsin. And I think they're going to be better this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And he's going to start to be building his system there.
Right. So that's fickle, right?
Yep.
So I'm worried about that. Then they got November 2nd, Ohio State, who seems to be this year's version of Michigan.
Yeah.
They, like they loaded up both in the transfer portal and keeping guys that we thought were going to the NFL.
Yep.
Now it is at Beaver Stadium. It'll, I guess, probably be a night game unless it's big noon on Fox, which actually probably is going to be big noon on Fox.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Unless there's some other crazy game that weekend, like Michigan-USC or something like that. But I still think Ohio State-Penn State gets the nod there.
It has us at Marshall.
Oh. Oh, okay. Alabama's the next home game.
Okay.
So we'll play them probably probably our next game after this, so... Yeah, because in the recruiting, I was doing visits for some prospects, and Alabama was the next option, but there's a road game at Marshall. So, okay, back to the real world, real football here. So after the Ohio State game at home, Washington comes to Beaver Stadium. Right. So after five basically must-win games to start the year, you now have, at best, three toss-ups and a loss. Like that's the way I look at it. At USC, at Wisconsin, versus Ohio State, versus Washington. Yeah.
So what do you think we are at that point?
If we go 5-0, I guess I would be bummed if we went anything worse than 3-1.
Yeah.
And if we're 4-1, I would be really upset if we went worse than 2-2.
Right.
So, I mean, as much as I want to win that Ohio State game, it's much more realistic, I think, to beat Wisconsin and USC than it is Ohio State.
I agree.
Washington is an interesting one to me because they lost a bunch. You know, Penix and the receiver,
they lost Dunsey, a ton.
And obviously their coaches. They lost their head coach, is now the coach at Alabama. Their offensive coordinator went to Alabama and now is with the Seattle Seahawks. So it'll be interesting to see what the Huskies have. We get them at Penn State, which makes me feel it's at a minimum a toss-up. I might feel better about the Washington game than the USC game at this moment.
Oh, absolutely, because it's just considering what they've lost, and then also it's at home.
Right, exactly. So I think I'm going to say through the Washington game, I would like at a minimum you need to be 7-2.
Yep.
If you have a realistic chance of possibly squeaking into the Big Ten championship, but probably not, you have to be at least 7-2. Then they close with three must-win games, but of course, two of them on the road. The week after Washington, they go to Purdue on November 16th.
This is always tricky.
I'll have to ask Kelly if she wants to make a return trip.
There you go.
We saw Penn State-Purdue back in October 08. Then at Minnesota, which has been a little rough for Penn State of late going to play the Gophers. That's November 23rd. That's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving weekend, host Maryland. I feel like Maryland lost a lot and they got to go to Beaver Stadium. I feel like that's a win. I mean, I feel like Purdue and Minnesota are wins too. I wouldn't classify them in the same area as USC and Wisconsin.
Right.
But again, they're also games that I feel like, especially if you're coming off a gauntlet and you are 2-2 after USC, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Washington, it's one of those things that I could see them losing to Purdue or Minnesota.
What you're telling me is you've seen teams
like this season kind of get away from them.
And one loss turn into multiple losses?
Yes, exactly. So, but I was at 7-2 before those final three games. Honestly, if they go worse than 10-2, I think people would be really mad if they go 9-3.
Yeah, I see. I feel like people are going to, I think more people are going to pick them to go not get to 10 wins.
Because of the schedule, because of the unknowns with a few of those games.
I think people are going to pick us to lose to USC. I think people are going to pick us to lose to Ohio State. And then I think people are going to pick us to lose to
either Washington or Wisconsin.
Washington, Wisconsin, one of those two.
Yeah, it could be a great start to the season. Build up to, a 5-0 start would be fantastic. But, man, that October 12th through November 9th is just a gauntlet. At least there is a bye between the two road games, USC and Wisconsin. That helps a little bit, but definitely no favors were done.
No.
It's not a, since the expansion and the change of the schedule again, it's not a great home slate. I bet Adam's really mad. Bowling Green, Kent State, Illinois. UCLA is an interesting.
It's a really slow start.
I don't know if they've
been
to Beaver Stadium. Has Penn State ever played UCLA? I see. I don't know about the history between the two schools.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, you get, but you do get Ohio State and Washington. You'll make your money back there if you're looking to sell tickets,
right?
You know, unfortunately, I wish the Minnesota and Maryland venues were switched. I wish Minnesota was at home before Thanksgiving and Maryland was away, because it's just tough to get the students there for those you know, the Thanksgiving holiday break.
Well, that's what has to happen is you have to have that game mean something. You have to have that game like be like,
right,
all right,
yeah, if they win, they go to the
Big Ten championship game. Then you'll get kids there. Maybe not crazy, but you'll get kids there.
All right. So I looked up Penn State's history against UCLA. They are 2-4. They're 1-2 at home, 1-2 on the road. Oh my gosh. The first game was in 1963. Penn State won 17-14. Their last all of these games were played within this in 6 years. There's basically three home and home agreements in the 60s. Penn State won at University Park 17-14 on September 28th, 1963. Then they lost the next four games in LA, in State College, in LA, at State College, 64, 65, 66, 67. They lost 21-14, 24-22. Then the only one that's a real outlier, they got hammered in 1966, 49-11. Then they lost by 2 points in 67. So Penn State hasn't hosted UCLA since October 7th, 1967. They haven't played a game since October
12th, 1968. Wow. It's kind of crazy.
What, 56 years?
Yeah, it's a long time. Especially considering Penn State was an independent for a long time.
Right, so
like they could schedule. Although, like, traveling cross country was...
not exactly...
right. An easy sell.
An easy, yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think 10-2 would be like, as much as I said, like, yeah, we're at a spot where 10-2, but like, I think 10-2 would be a good regular season. And like you said, I think 10-2 with that schedule, I think that gets us in the playoffs.
Well, and 10-2, but they have to look good in those two losses.
Right. So like a close loss to Ohio State.
And a close loss to whoever else you're going to, at USC.
And have that be good. So whether it's USC who's battling, you know, or whether that's West Virginia who goes and is battling for the Big 12.
Right.
You know, like, you know.
Right. It just, you can't have a bad loss. You need to lose. If you're going to lose two games, they better be two, like, top 15 teams.
Right. You can't be, like, one of Purdue's, like, four wins.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like, or one of, you know, you lose to a 6-6 Minnesota. You know, like, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So we'll see what happens. I guess I'm cautiously optimistic, but we didn't kind of say anything that I think's outlandish. You said maybe we actually were overrating them, which I feel like we don't do that often.
No,
you seem to have more confidence in the Eagles than you do anything else.
Well, then that's just
when it comes to the Phillies or Penn
purely
State.
Blind optimism. And you know what that is? It's not all that recent, but it's recency bias. They're the team that came through for me the most recently.
Right. They won a Super Bowl. They got back to another one.
And to be fair, they won a Super Bowl when it looked like they're going to win, and then the world came crashing down because their MVP quarterback got hurt, and it just looked like, well, now. And they won it anyway. So like that kind of like changed my mindset of like, screw it. I'm just going to think they win. You know? Like,
right. Yeah. So we'll see.
But yeah, like the thing is, you look at it like a lot can change between now and that game in October. But like Ohio State on paper is better than Penn State.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like that's just the reality of it. Now, that doesn't mean it happens. It's college football.
Well,
not even professional football. It's college football.
Right. And Penn State the better team on paper in 2016?
Right, exactly. No. So, like, you never know. And you get them in Penn State, which I think even ramps that up even more of the, like, who knows what will happen.
Right. So,
But I think a lot of that is set by the tone going into it. You know, if you go in thinking like, oh, we need a miracle. But if you go in thinking, hey, look, we're good. I know we might not be as good, but we get them here. Like, this is our shot. You know, like,
right.
It's just a whole different feel. And a lot of that's going to come down to how do they play against West Virginia, for example. Because guess what? If they don't play well, if they lose to West Virginia, no one's going to care how bad they beat Bowling Green and Kent State.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No one cares. No one cares. You know what I mean? And honestly, even if they beat West Virginia, but don't look dominant in doing so. And that's not a statement about North or West Virginia. West Virginia, everyone thought they should have fired their coach 2 years ago.
Right.
And then they held on to him. And man, did he
look good
pay him back
year.
Last year. Yeah.
That one, like, end of game notwithstanding, I guess.
Right, right. So, like, all of that aside, you look at it and, like, if Penn State wins that convincingly, I still think people are going to be like, ah, it's West Virginia. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. They need to probably beat USC in game six. Like, that's the one that everyone's going to be paying attention to.
Right.
The first five,
now, if
no
they,
one's going to care
right,
about.
If they were to go 6-0 with that win against USC, I think six, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, five.
Yes.
USC would be six.
Okay. If they were to go to 6-0 with a win at USC,
and West Virginia is like 4-1 or 5-1 or whatever.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden you're getting flexed to a bunch of the big time games. You know,
and at 6-0 with a win over USC and a West Virginia team that's only lost to you, they're probably at least top 10, if not top 5.
Right.
Most likely. That would be my guess.
You know, that's going to be where it starts to get really kind of crazy. But if you're 4-2 coming home from USC.
Yeah. Their fringe top 20 team.
Right, with USC or with Ohio State still on the schedule.
Right.
Not ideal.
No, not ideal. So, speaking of Ohio State a lot, Penn State finally brought in Julian Fleming. Took 4 years post-high school, but he basically slots in as the number one wide receiver immediately just because that room struggled so much this past year.
Yep.
Keandre Lambert-Smith looked good at times, but he disappeared at the end of the season. So Fleming comes in right away and is the guy. He had a great winter workout. And Penn State also got two really good cornerbacks, DBs, in the transfer portal.
Yes.
And after watching the bowl game, they definitely need them. A lot of good young talent, but just not quite
ready yet.
They weren't ready yet. So to get those two guys, especially someone from Georgia and Florida, like those are good guys that you want to have to fill in some holes in the secondary. So, getting Tom Allen at DC is nice. Kotelnicki, I think a lot of people are happy about.
Yeah.
So I'm cautiously optimistic that Penn State can win 10 regular season games.
I still look at it like, not that Indiana has put out like insanely good defenses, but they put out respectable defenses year after year with Indiana's talent. Right, like say what you will about what Penn State lost on the defensive side. This will be the most talented defense Tom Allen has coached in a long time.
Right, right.
Like, you know, like without a question.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Let me see. I know Penn State's played USC more than UCLA. I assume Penn State's played USC more than UCLA. 10 times. So, but the last...
didn't we play them in one of like those kickoff classics?
Yes, and I was at it, and Penn State lost. It was August 27th, 2000. It was at Giant Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Penn State lost 29-5. My dad took me to that. I went with my aunt and uncle. It's when I found out, you know, which song that you'd hear forever on the NCAA football games, which one was the USC one? Because my aunt told me that I would hate it by the end of the game. And she was right because it was like the only thing the band played. So watching them lose 29-5 sucked. Penn State actually hasn't beaten USC since 1996. That was also in the kickoff classic.
That's the one I remember.
August 25th, 1996, Penn State beat USC 24-7. Penn State has not played them at home technically since 1991. Obviously the Rose Bowl games in 2016 and 2008, both losses to USC, were technically neutral fields.
Right.
But Penn State hasn't played a regular season road game against USC since 91. Penn State lost that game 21-10. Penn State has actually never beaten USC on the West Coast.
Wow.
Penn State beat them at Giant Stadium in 96, at Beaver Stadium in 94 and 93. And those are the only three wins. They lost their first four games in 1922 was the first game. Actually, the Rose Bowl in 1923, the 22 season, the 23 Rose Bowl, January 1st, 14-3, then lost in 82 in the bowl game on January 1st. That was that the Fiesta Bowl? It was in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay.
And then they played at USC in 90 and 91 and lost both those games before beating them the next three matches and now losing the last three. So a lot of opportunities for Penn State first against USC this year. First road win against USC in a non-neutral facility and first win against USC since 96.
That's awesome.
Hope it happens.
Yes.
Hope we can talk about it.
Yeah, I would love nothing more than that.
I'll have to look up Penn State's record against Washington after this. I don't know how often they've played. I know Penn State beat them just a few years ago in a bowl game.
Yeah, Fiesta Bowl.
Which was a high-scoring affair, but it was kind of a huge game for Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Saquon. Yeah, because that was when I was like, Myles Gaskin, I don't like you. And then he ended up playing for the Dolphins for the next like 5 years. Because Gaskins mocked Saquon's touchdown celebration.
Yeah. Penn
State ended up winning, so that's all that matters.
In a loss, for the record, yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, so it ought to be interesting. I mean, I say what I will about, like, oh, I don't know what they've got. I'm still going to be ready for, you know.
I think Penn State's recruiting classes of the 5 years that matters – at the moment, they're ranked high enough that as long as they develop talent and didn't lose anyone to injury or whatnot, like Landon Tangwall, but they should be a top three team in the Big Ten and probably at a minimum top 10 to 12 right. team in the nation.
Right.
Anything else would be a failure.
Well, even like last year, like the way last year went, like it feels frustrating. Well, it was frustrating and everything, but they were the second best or they were the third best team in the Big Ten.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah, fairly confident in saying that.
Yeah. What scares me is Ohio State was good last year and they got nothing from the quarterback position.
Right. Yeah. And he transferred out.
Right. To Syracuse.
Yeah.
And he's Paul's problem now.
Alma mater of Larry Zonka.
Yeah.
I watched the NFL films.
Who's
on the
that?
72.
I'm kidding.
72 Miami Dolphins today while I was at work this morning. And it actually.
Were they good? I'm sorry.
I thought this was the one I had seen, but actually the ones I was watching was A Football Life on Don Shula.
Okay.
And obviously they talked about that a lot, but today's was A Football Life on the 72 Dolphins.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And they filmed it during the 50th anniversary year in 2022. So Don Shula had passed away.
Oh, okay.
So actually a bunch of guys had passed away. It was mostly focused on Larry Little, Mercury Morris, Bob Greasy.
This is me not being a jerk now. That was a long time ago now.
What's that? When Shula passed away or this undefeated season?
No, the undefeated season.
Yeah, 52 years.
Right.
Well, they mentioned that they talk about that they're all getting up there. You know, they're all in their 70s.
Yeah.
You know? So
it's like when you see some of those guys, you see pictures of some of those guys and they look like they're like 50 something and it's like, was like 28. And you're like, oh.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Different time.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was definitely fun to watch and listen. I knew most of the stuff that was said, but it's always cool because it always amazes me in sports, but I feel like the NFL films do such a good job with it.
Yes.
Like all the audio and video that they have.
Yes.
From you know, the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right. Like anymore, it doesn't surprise
me. No, not at all.
Like especially in an NFL game, if something happens and like, oh, we didn't have that, I'm like, I don't believe that. You know, like I don't believe that. If they say, oh, we didn't catch this or we didn't, I don't believe it in an NFL game anymore. like if you were to tell me like 52 years ago that that happened,
right?
And,
yeah.
And, right, and like that's the crazy part, and they have still so much good footage and everything.
Well,
and that's before. Listen, like that's before the NFL was what it is,
right?
You know, like
well, yeah, the guys talk about
if like, it was so big back then, it would still make sense, and it was big, but it was not what it was. It's not what it is now. Like, when did they stop showing games on like tape delay? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, one of the football lives I watched, I don't know if it was the Don Shula one or if it was something else on one of the older Dolphins teams, but they talk about like football was a part-time job.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like kind of what for a long time, minor league baseball players, like
right. Yes.
That was a part-time yes. job. It's, I think that's changed now that
it has moved. Contract. It has moved a little bit more away from that. Yeah.
But like, that's what the NFL was.
Right.
They you know, they sold cars and,
right.
and they were in finance and their job as a pro football player was a part-time thing that they only did, you know, from the end of August through, if they were lucky, mid-January.
Right.
And they were like that's where the origin of training camp came because none of them were in shape.
Right. And they were off working their other jobs.
Right. Wild how different it's yes. come as we talk about Baker Mayfield signing a $100 million contract. Oh, Georgia lost. Number 6 seed Georgia lost.
I'm leaving you out on an island for a second here because I wanted to grab this.
That's fine.
So, oh god, no.
Oh, I was putting up a clock yesterday after I'd taken it down to change the time and put my fingers through the glass face of the of the clock. Yeah, there was glass everywhere.
Was there also blood everywhere?
Including stuck to my arms that I was finding an hour later.
Jeez, that's yeah, not good.
It was not ideal.
No, doesn't sound like it.
Amazingly, no blood.
Wow.
Now it did, like my hands felt really weird last night. They felt like there were little cuts all over them, but like it was not bleeding.
Almost like if you rub your hands on the plexiglass, not plexiglass.
Yes. Yes.
Not plexiglass.
No, though. But like the insulation with the plexiglass in it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing,
yeah.
It felt a lot like that. Yes.
All right. So I'm going to, before I finish the stuff about the Sorry. Dolphins, I'm going to jump back to Penn State football history against Washington. So they have actually only played 3 times.
Okay.
The most recent was in the Fiesta Bowl in 2017, which Penn State won 35-28. Before that, the last time was in 1983, which also had to be a bowl game in Hawaii.
Oh, man.
Penn State won 13-10. Then the first ever matchup was in 1921 in Seattle. Penn State won 21-7. So Penn State is 3-0 against Washington. And their games have been separated by 62 years and 34 years.
So here's the thing. I don't dislike – so after the Fiesta Bowl, I did not really care for Washington. A lot because of the Myles Gaskin thing, like you said.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. It just annoyed me. But I read Boys in the Boat, and I really liked it. It's based off of the crew team from Washington. So that team was cool. But the rest of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
So –
my gosh.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to redirect now and go back to the 72 Dolphins as we finish up or get close to finishing up this game here against Marshall, hopefully holding on to it for a win. But I think I said this something about this to my dad, and I believe I showed you, and I've had these now for a few years, but you know, trading cards have gotten ridiculous over the last
yes.
4 or 5 years. Like the pandemic really shot things into the stratosphere. And I got back into card collecting. I haven't done much over the last year and a half or so, but I was shocked to see, you know, autographs are a huge thing, especially on card autographs, getting those of modern players, basically starting back in 2017 with Mahomes and all the quarterback prospects since, getting those before they bomb, like, you know, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, because that stuff's not worth anything anymore. But when you're doing the prospecting and thinking they're going to be the, you know, possibly the next Mahomes or Brady, they're worth a lot. But you can get a lot of other veteran autographs or, you know, long time ago players, retired players for not that much. Like I have this. I got to pull up my camera. I'm about to say I have this card and show it, and the video is only on you, Justin. So I got to see if I can pull that up with with me in frame as well. Let's see if I can do that. See if I'm smart enough to do this on the fly. I may or may not be, so. But I have a few from the 72 Dolphins. That's the whole point of this, which is, I thought it was really cool being able to put this together, and I'm glad I have it. And I feel like I've shown these to you before, but maybe I haven't. I don't recall, but let's get the game in the window here, Joey. Here we go. I think I'm just about there. Okay, yeah, let's try this. All right. Okay, yeah, there's me and there's Justin Gaming, so no one can cry about us, you know, not being on stream. So I have this one, Bob Greasy, on card auto, oh, Hall awesome. Of Fame card.
Wait, on card auto?
On card auto. These are nice. All on card.
Nice, nice.
I have Dick Anderson, Dolphin safety, on card auto.
Oh, my gosh.
This one specifically from Super Bowl cards of, so this one's Super Bowl 8. It's a black and white photo, but chrome version. Mercury Morris, who my uncle does not like. I told my dad today when we were watching the documentary on the 72 Dolphins. I said, Uncle Rich. My Uncle Rich hates Mercury Morris.
Wow.
Should
I use my timeouts to save time for you? Wait. They may have used one here. No, they didn't.
No, that's fine. Just let it go.
Okay.
Then Larry Little. This is a Super Bowl 7. So this one's actually from the undefeated season. Larry Little, again, on card auto. Then this one also from Super Bowl 7. It's not a refractor or a chrome card, but it's Jim Kick, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. Actually, just like 5 weeks after Don Shula passed away, Jim Kick passed away. And then the last one here is the NFL 100 celebration. Again, another on card auto of Paul Warfield. So that is my collection of 70s Dolphins. I remember telling you about the Bob Greasy one because I was like, you'll never believe what I just got for like $30. It actually might have been in the 20s even. I was like, an on-card autograph of Bob Greasy.
It's fourth and goal, by the way. They only have one timeout, so if we...
So I just... Card collecting can be really fun, and especially if you can get stuff that you're really excited about and it doesn't cost a lot of money. Because obviously everyone wants the on-card auto of Tom Brady in his rookie season, because those go for, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or maybe even pushing millions. I'm not sure. Oh, same thing with like the Mahomes stuff now.
Yeah.
But like things like this that don't cost a lot
awesome.
Of money.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're fun. I actually have one more up there from NFL 100, but it's of Dwight Stevenson, and he played in the 80s. Yeah. So I didn't,
No, that's really cool. I got to stop in part because they threw on fourth and goal, they threw to the 6 yard line, and I rallied and made the tackle.
Are we playing the Jets?
So I was going to say, unfortunately, I feel like too many teams I have a rooting interest in have done similar things over the years.
Right.
So, but yeah, we were able to get back in the win column. Get back there.
Double win column. And now we're set for a showdown next week against Alabama.
But Marshall always is a tough matchup for us.
Yeah, they do.
Every time.
Those first few seasons, we struggled against like teams that you're like,
why? They were 0-3. They were 0-3 coming into this game.
Huh. Well, 44 seconds. Hopefully we can hold on. They have one timeout. So one first down ends the game. So let's get that. Oh, boy, you missed. Thanks for the block. Well, they just made it infinitely more tough on me. Well, actually, I guess we don't even need a first down. Just need to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, just this play should do it. Thank goodness.
I was going to say, screw it. I'm going to throw it deep with no time left. But that's when they would pick it off and return it for a touchdown.
Right. Never a doubt.
No, never a doubt. So any closing thoughts on Penn State or college football, the playoff opponents, anything like that? Is Ohio State the betting favorite, odds on favorite to you to win the Big Ten?
If they do not win the Big Ten,
Ryan Day gets fired. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we said that last week, but yep. You're definitely, I think we're honestly, right on the money there.
Honestly, hear me out. If they were to win the Big Ten with one loss, but that one loss is to Michigan, right?
Yeah.
And still make the playoff, but lose in their first playoff game. Ooh. Even let's say they beat Michigan, but Michigan has like maybe two or three losses, right? Or sorry, they lose to Michigan, but like so Michigan isn't in the Big Ten championship game, but they lose to Michigan in the regular season.
Yeah,
right. They still make the playoff. Let's say they get in as the four. Like that's their only loss in the regular season and Big Ten championship game.
Who do they beat in the Big Ten championship?
Let's say USC. I'm just someone else, okay. Right? Or Penn State. Okay,
good.
Twice that would stink.
Oh yeah.
So we'll go with USC. And let's say they get the four seed or whatever's going to be the last bye.
Yeah.
And they lose their first round matchup. Right,
which would be probably so. I mean, could be against the five seed.
He would still get fired.
Yeah,
he would still get fired. Because they're going to have it's going to be a reset after this year. Now you can do that really quickly in college football anymore, but it'll be interesting to kind of see how it plays out. But yeah, there's a lot on the line for Ohio State this year.
Do we know? Have they announced it? What the tie-breaking procedures are for the Big Ten now without divisions?
I believe they have, but I think it's just the highest two ranked teams.
So like Ohio State's undefeated, at least in Big Ten play, they go.
Yeah.
But what if there's two or three teams that have one loss?
Right, and not everybody plays each other. But
right.
I think it just goes to the highest ranked,
the highest ranked team. The poll then?
Yep. Yep.
The AP poll?
My guess is the college football playoff poll.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. That would make the most sense, yes. Oh boy, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So next week, we're trying to get our bracket challenge winner from March Madness last year on the show. He's had a busy schedule. Basketball just finished. He actually was doing a basketball thing tonight. We were going to possibly have him on the show. He couldn't make it. We're going to talk to him about maybe joining us next week. But we'll get him on soon. Kevin Quimby, he's a Wilson assistant basketball coach. And he earned the right to come on the show. And we thought it would be great since he's a big basketball guy coming on for March Madness here, which will be fun. I feel like every year I say I know very little about college basketball. And I feel like this year is even worse than normal for me, like in terms of knowing what's been going on. So it'd be nice to have someone with much more knowledge about the sport right now. I feel like I've heard more about Caitlin Clark and the women's than I did about any of the men's team. And honestly, the only reason I know that UConn is really good is because of Chris Gross.
Right. I agree.
On Twitter, following him since he left Penn State to go back home to work with his alma mater at UConn.
You're just a closet UConn fan.
God, yeah, you know me.
See, I feel like me making jokes about the 72 Dolphins, me making jokes about Bob Greasy, like that you just take in stride.
It's been a banner night for you. You
draw the line when I joke about you liking UConn.
But that's what we're going to talk about next week, college basketball. And if we're not joined by Kevin, it's just us talking college basketball, it might get dicey. We might have to shift somewhere. But the brackets will be out because I believe they start being debuted at 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but we're starting. Oh, that's what we had to say. Our show from here on out indefinitely will be starting at 6:30. In the evening instead of 8:30. You know, when Justin and I started the show, we used to do the show at 6:30 on Sundays. And then when we both became parents, it got tough because that, you know, dinner time and because the kids were so young, also bedtime. So we eventually moved it back to 8:30. And we're like, well, now all the NFL games will be over. We'll catch the beginning of this. You know, it works out well. But now the kids' bedtimes have been moved back to when we're about to start the show here. And the show gets over pretty late for us having to get up for work on Monday morning. So we're just like, well, maybe we move back to our original time.
See how it goes. Yeah.
So the business cards I bought 12 years ago are now accurate again to hand out.
I still have one in my wallet. I need to
bring some of those and put them out at the shop so maybe more people can join us. Actually, it was a very well-received show tonight. We actually have a bunch of viewers watching. We normally only have not even a full handful watching live. We get much more
whammy.
Do I have your camera up? Let me see. Yeah, hold that up again. There we go. It's focusing on it. Bring it even closer. There it is. Sundays at 6:30. Does it still say
it says Ustream
Talk Radio on Ustream? Wow. Yeah. So at least the time will be accurate again. Yeah. We haven't been on
the old call-in number.
Oh man.
Those are the days. I can't believe we've been doing this for 13 years. But the only other thing I want to say, Justin, is...
Cards held up well.
is, I don't know if it's congratulations is right, but my my niece was baptized today.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was great to be at church with family and friends to celebrate that. We had a nice luncheon afterwards. And happy belated birthday to my Uncle Dennis, celebrating a few days ago. Shout out to my Uncle Rich as always. If he's not watching live, hopefully he'll catch this after the fact and he'll tell me how much he hates Mercury Morris.
Right, but very few Patriots shots today.
Yeah, right? Not well, you know, they're not relevant.
We made fun of the Jets. So.
Mac Jones, no longer their quarterback. Traded to the
interesting,
Jaguars.
Interesting. He's probably going to compete for the starting job.
He's going to beat out Trevor Lawrence for sure. Well, I mean, just like Caleb Williams, not a generational talent.
Oh, my gosh.
We're just burning things down at the end of the show. But, yeah, so 6:30 next week, March Madness. So, actually, we'll be broadcasing as that's being revealed, right? Or do they
possibly,
do it like
I don't
at
know.
The very...
Like, I don't know.
Well,
dude.
We're starting a half an hour into the reveal on right. CBS. So right. we may have the full bracket.
I think we'll probably have two. We'll probably have one side.
Okay, it'll probably so we'll be happening while we're bracket, doing it. Yeah. So, we'll pull that up and talk about it live, and then obviously we'll be running the March Madness Bracket Challenge through ESPN, so you can join that and win a chance to appear with us on the show and talk sports, which is what we want to get Kevin Quimby on to do here very soon. We'll also be playing college football, though, while we do it, and games, what is that, 4 and 5 are on deck. And then the following week, the 24th, we will be doing our MLB preview. Is that because that, like, 4 days later... I almost said Wilson, and then I almost said Penn State. The Phillies and the Braves will kick off things on March 28th.
So yeah.
Kick off things for the Phillies. Right. Now, I know there's an international series, or like actually might be almost a week ahead of
things. It usually is, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's like March 20th or 21st will be the international
series. Separate from
series.
The Phillies playing in London this summer.
Right, which will be pretty cool. That's in like mid to late June or early June?
Yeah, I think it's like late June, I thought.
Okay. So a lot of things to look forward to, and we're excited to bring them to you, and hopefully you'll join us as often as possible. I think that was everything.
Sounds good to
I
me.
I hope I covered everything. Yeah, so until next week at 6:30 on Sunday, March 17th, thanks for joining us for this episode of the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show. Episode 396 is over. So for Justin Raffoff, I'm Joe Mays. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Joe Mays and J-Raff Show, brought to you by Mays Sandwich Shop. Woo-hoo! You can watch each weekly episode live on Facebook, Periscope, or YouTube. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. You can also rate and review us on many of these platforms as well. We'd love to hear from you. Send your email to the Mays Sandwich Shop inbox at joemaysandjraff@gmail.com. The Joe Mays and J-Raff Show is a part of the JMNJR Radio Network, home to other productions such as The Bulldog Hour, Tangents with Friends, and Nat Chats with Dad. Until next time.